just and on the unjust. For courtesy is the sister of charity. It extinguisheth hatred and kindleth love. I have discovered in this good man such divine virtues that I would most willingly have him as a companion. On some future day we will pay him another visit, or possibly the Lord may touch his heart and induce him to follow us in his service. In the meantime, we will pray God to put this desire into his heart and give him grace to execute it. Now, a few days after St. Francis had made this prayer, the Lord touched the heart of the nobleman, and the saint said to his companion, "Let us go, my brother, to the dwelling of that courteous nobleman, as I hope in God that, amongst his temporal gifts, he will offer himself and join our order." And they set out accordingly. As they arrived near the house, St. Francis said to his companion, "Wait for me a little, that I may first ask the Lord to prosper our journey, and pray that it may please our Savior Jesus Christ, through his holy passion, to take from the world this virtuous nobleman and confide him to us, his poor weak servants." Having said this, he knelt down in a spot where he could be seen by the nobleman, who was walking to and fro in his rooms. And it pleased God that he should perceive St. Francis as he prayed in the presence of Christ, who appeared in great glory and stood before him. He saw, too, that for a long space of time the saint was raised above the earth. On seeing this, he felt in his heart so great a desire to leave the world that he hastened out of his palace and with great fervor of spirit ran to St. Francis, and kneeling at his feet implored him earnestly and devoutly to receive him into his order and allow him to do penance with him. Then the saint, seeing that his prayer was granted and that the nobleman asked of him the accomplishment of his wish, arose and embraced him joyfully, devoutedly returning thanks to God who had made such a present to his order. And the nobleman said to St. Francis, "What wilt thou have me do, my father? I am ready to obey thee and give all I possess to the poor in order to follow Christ with thee, without any hindrance from things temporal." And following the advice of the saint, he distributed all he possessed to the poor and entered the order, living a life of holiness and penance, and speaking always of divine things. Chapter 38. How it was revealed to St. Francis that Brother Elias was damned and was to die out of the order, and how at the desire of the said brother he prayed to Christ for him, and how his prayer was granted. As St. Francis and Brother Elias were living together in a convent, it was revealed by God to St. Francis that Brother Elias was damned. Seeing he was about to apostatize and that he would die out of the order. In consequence of this revelation, the saint took such a dislike to him that he neither spoke to him nor conversed with him. And when Brother Elias went towards him, he turned away and took another direction in order not to meet him. Now Brother Elias, perceiving and seeing that St. Francis disliked him, was anxious to know the reason. He therefore accosted him one day in order to speak with him, the saint endeavoring, as usual, to avoid him. But Brother Elias retained him courteously and begged him to say why he avoided his company and refused to speak to him. St. Francis answered, "This is the reason. It has been revealed to me by God that thou wilt apostatize and die out of the order, also that because of thy sins thou art damned." On hearing this, Brother Elias said, "My reverend father, I implore thee by the love of Jesus Christ not to dismise me for this reason, nor send me from here, but like a good shepherd following the example of thy master, to seek and save the lamb which will perish without thy help. Pray to God for me that, if possible, he may revoke the sentence of my damnation, for it is written that the Lord will forgive the sinner if he repent of his sin. And I have such faith in thy prayers that were I even in hell and thou wert to pray for me, I should find refreshment. I implore thee then that thou recommend me a sinner to God who came into the world to save sinners, that he may have mercy on me." This request Brother Elias made with so much fervor and so many tears that St. Francis had compassion on him and promised to pray for him, which he did. And as he prayed most devoutly, the Lord revealed to him that his prayer was granted, that the sentence of damnation pronounced on Brother Elias had been revoked, that his soul would be finally saved, and that he would leave the order and die out of it. And so it happened. For Frederick, King of Sicily, having rebelled against the church, was excommunicated by the Pope with all those who gave him aid or counsel. Brother Elias, being looked upon as one of the most learned men in the world, King Frederick sent for him, wishing to see him. He obeyed the summons and thus rebelled against the church, for which reason he was excommunicated by the Pope and deprived of the habit of St. Francis. Soon after the excommunication, he fell dangerously ill, and a lay brother who belonged to the order, a man of holy life, having heard of his illness, went to visit him, and amongst other things said to him, "My dear brother, I grieve to see thee thus excommunicated and out of the order, and that probably thou wilt die in this state. If there is any way by which I can deliver thee from this danger, most willingly would I undergo any trouble and fatigue to help thee." Brother Elias answered, "My brother, I see no other way but that thou go to the Pope and entreat him, for the love of God and of St. Francis his servant, upon whose teaching I gave up the world, to absolve me from this excommunication and restore to me my religious habit." And the lay brother said he would most willingly undertake the journey for his salvation. And taking leave of him, he went to the Pope, and humbly kneeling before him, implored him to take pity on Brother Elias for the love of Christ and of St. Francis, his servant. And it pleased God that the Holy Father granted his request, telling him to return to him, and if he found him alive, to tell him in his name that he was absolved from the excommunication, and that the habit of his order was restored to him. He hastened back to Brother Elias with this joyful news, and finding him on the point of death, gave him the message of the Pope, telling him that he was absolved from the excommunication, and that his habit was restored to him. On this, Brother Elias departed from this world, his soul being saved by the merits and prayers of St. Francis, on which he had placed such great faith. Chapter 39. Of the wonderful discourse which St. Anthony of Padua, a friar minor, made in the consistory. That wonderful vessel of the Holy Spirit, St. Anthony of Padua, one of the chosen disciples and companions of St. Francis, whom the latter called his vicar, was preaching one day before the Pope and the cardinals in consistory, there being present men of divers nations, Greeks, Latins, French, Germans, Slavs, English, and others. And he was so inflamed by the Holy Spirit, and explained the word of God so devoutly, so sweetly, so clearly, and in a manner so efficacious, and so learned, that all those who were in the consistory, though they spoke different languages, understood what he said as perfectly as if he had spoken the language of each. And they were all full of wonder, for it seemed to them as if the miracle of the apostles at the time of Pentecost had been renewed, when the Holy Spirit taught them to speak all languages, and they said among themselves, "Does not he that preacheth come from Spain? How is it then that in his words we each hear our own tongue spoken?" And the Pope, as much surprised as the others, considering the deep meaning of his words, exclaimed, "In truth, this man is the Ark of the Testament and the treasure of the Holy Scriptures." Chapter 40. Of the miracle which God performed when St. Anthony, being at Rimini, preached to the fishes of the sea. Christ the Blessed One was pleased to show forth the great sanctity of his most faithful servant, St. Anthony, and how men ought devoutly to listen to his preaching by means of preachers without reason. On one occasion, amongst others, he made use of fish to reprove the folly of faithless heretics, even as we read in the Old Testament that in ancient times he reproved the ignorance of Balaam by the mouth of an ass. St. Anthony, being at one time at Rimini, where there were a great number of heretics, and wishing to lead them by the light of faith into the way of truth, preached to them for several days and reasoned with them on the faith of Christ and on the Holy Scriptures. They not only resisted his words, but were hardened and obstinate, refusing to listen to him. At last, St. Anthony, inspired by God, went down to the seashore, where the river runs into the sea, and having placed himself on a bank between the river and the sea, he began to speak to the fishes as if the Lord had sent him to preach to them, and said, "Listen to the word of God, O ye fishes of the sea and of the river, seeing that the faithless heretics refuse to do so." No sooner had he spoken these words than suddenly so great a multitude of fishes, both small and great, approached the bank on which he stood, that never before had so many been seen in the sea or in the river. All kept their heads out of the water and seemed to be looking attentively on St. Anthony's face. All were ranged in perfect order and most peacefully, the smaller ones in front near the bank. After them came those a little bigger, and last of all, where the water was deeper, the largest. When they had placed themselves in this order, St. Anthony began to preach to them most solemnly, saying, "My brother the fishes, you are bound, as much as is in your power, to return thanks to your Creator, who has given you so noble an element for your dwelling. For you have at your choice both sweet water and salt. You have many places of refuge from the tempest. You have likewise a pure and transparent element for your nourishment. God, your bountiful and kind Creator, when he made you, ordered you to increase and multiply, and gave you his blessing. In the universal deluge, all other creatures perished. You alone did God preserve from all harm. He has given you fins to enable you to go out where you will. To you was it granted, according to the commandment of God, to keep the prophet Jonas, and after 3 days to throw him safe and sound on dry ground. You it was who gave the tribute money to our Savior Jesus Christ, when through his poverty he had not wherewith to pay. By a singular mystery, you were the nourishment of the eternal King, Jesus Christ, before and after his resurrection. Because of all these things, you are bound to praise and bless the Lord, who has given you blessings so many and so much greater than to other creatures." At these words, the fish began to open their mouths and bow their heads, endeavoring as much as was in their power to express their reverence and show forth their praise. St. Anthony, seeing the reverence of the fish toward their Creator, rejoiced greatly in spirit, and said with a loud voice, "Blessed be the eternal God, for the fishes of the sea honor him more than men without faith, and animals without reason listen to his word with greater attention than sinful heretics." And while St. Anthony was preaching, the number of fishes increased, and none of them left the place that he had chosen. And the people of the city, hearing of the miracle, made haste to go and witness it. With them also came the heretics of whom we have spoken above, who, seeing so wonderful and manifest a miracle, were touched in their hearts and threw themselves at the feet of St. Anthony to hear his words. The saint then began to expound to them the Catholic faith. He preached so eloquently that all those heretics were converted and returned to the true faith of Christ. The faithful also were filled with joy and greatly comforted, being strengthened in the faith. After this, St. Anthony sent away the fishes with the blessing of God, and they all departed, rejoicing as they went, and the people returned to the city. But St. Anthony remained at Rimini for several days, preaching and reaping much spiritual fruit in the souls of his hearers. Chapter 41. How the Venerable Brother Simon delivered a brother from a great temptation, on account of which he was on the point of leaving the order. About the beginning of the order, and during the lifetime of St. Francis, a young man from Assisi took the habit, whose name was Simon, and the Lord adorned him with such graces and such elevation of mind that all his life long he was a mirror of sanctity, as I have heard from those who lived with him for a long time. He very seldom left his cell, and whenever he was in company with the brothers, he spoke always of God. He had never learned grammar, yet he talked of divine things and of the love of Christ in so elevated a way and with such profound wisdom that his words seemed to be supernatural. One evening he went into the wood with Brother James of Massa to speak of God, and they spent the whole night conversing sweetly on divine love. When morning dawned, they seemed to have been together but a few minutes, as the said Brother James told me himself. Brother Simon was so completely absorbed by the joy of these divine communications with God, and his spirit was so overflowing with love, that he was often obliged to lie down, as the tranquil sweetness which came over him with the Holy Spirit required not only the repose of the soul, but likewise that of the body. And during these divine visitations, he was often wrapped in God and quite insensible to all bodily things. On one occasion, as he was thus wrapped in God and insensible to the world, his heart was so burning with divine love that his bodily senses were dead to all things external. A brother, wishing to convince himself if this really was the case, as it appeared to be, took a piece of burning coal out of the fire and put it on his foot. And Brother Simon neither felt it, nor did it leave any mark, though it was left there some time, until it went out of itself. The said Brother Simon, when he sat down to his meals, before nourishing his body, took and gave to those around him the nourishment of the soul by speaking of God. A young man of San Severino, who had been excessively vain and worldly, and who was of noble blood and of delicate habits, was converted by means of the holy conversation of Brother Simon and entered the order. When he received him into the convent, he took from him his secular dress, and the young man remained with Brother Simon to be instructed in the rule. The devil, who was ever on the watch to do evil, tempted him so strongly in the flesh that he felt it impossible to resist, and going to Brother Simon, said to him, "Give me back my clothes which I wore in the world, as I cannot resist this temptation of the flesh." Brother Simon, feeling for him great compassion, said to him, "Sit down here a while with me, my son." And he spoke to him of God so earnestly that the temptation left him. Shortly after, however, it returned, and he went again and asked for his clothes, and Brother Simon delivered him from it by speaking to him of God, and he did the same thing several times. At last, one night, the temptation assailed him again with such force that he felt it was quite impossible to resist, and he went to Brother Simon and implored him to give him back his scholar's dress, as he could no longer remain in the convent. Then Brother Simon, as usual, made him sit down by his side and talked to him of God. The young man listened, and bowing his head sorrowfully, laid it on Brother Simon's breast. The latter, filled with compassion, raised his eyes to heaven and prayed that the Lord would have pity on him. As he prayed, he was wrapped in ecstasy, and his prayer was granted. When he came back to himself, he found the young man quite free from the temptation, and as calm as if he had never been assaulted. The evil spirit which had raged in his heart was, as it were, converted into the Spirit of God, for he had approached the burning coal of divine love, that is to say, Brother Simon. And his heart henceforth was inflamed with the love of God and of his neighbors. Finding himself on one occasion with a malefactor, who had been condemned to have both eyes torn out, this young man felt such compassion for him that he went bodily to the governor, and in full counsel implored him with tears and prayers to allow him to give one of his eyes so that the malefactor might not lose both. The governor and all those who composed his council were so touched by the charity of the monk that they pardoned the culprit. Brother Simon, being one day in prayer in the forest, and being greatly annoyed by a flock of crows who disturbed him in his meditations by their cries, he ordered them in the name of Christ to go away and never to return again. And the birds flew away at his command and were never again seen or heard in all the country round about. And all the custody of Fermo, where the convent was situated, bore testimony to this miracle. Chapter 42. Of several wonderful miracles which the Lord performed through the means of Brother Peter of Monticello and Brother Conrad of Offida, how Brother Bentivoglio carried a leper 15 miles in a very short time, how St. Michael spoke to another brother, and how the Virgin Mary appeared to Brother Conrad and placed her divine son in his arms. As the sky is adorned with stars, so the providence of the March of Ancona was in former times adorned with holy and exemplary friars, who, like the bright luminaries in heaven, ornamented the order of St. Francis and enlightened the world by their doctrine and example. Foremost amongst these was Brother Lucido Antico, in whom indeed shone forth the fire of divine charity.